7 o'clock, let's get the Portage Science Law Commission meeting open for Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. We have a full complement of commissioners here tonight. No one on the public comment. Approval of the agenda by consent. Any changes to approve? Hearing none, it is approved by consent. Approval of the minutes.
So approved.
We'll jump right over to Kelly for the financials.
Checks printed in May were $101,599.20. Occupancy in the campground was at 52%, which is up 2% from last year. And mortgage was at 46, which is up 3% from last year.
Are we ever going to get any numbers on the Cushman? Is there anything?
We have got some numbers, but by the time we pretty much pay our payment and everything else, I think we're bringing in about $9,000 or $7,000.
So how are we tracking that? Is that in QuickBooks? Is it in here?
No, because there's no separate accounts for them, so it just goes into our campground figures, just like these campground figures. Those get added to our campground figures. We just don't have separate accounts for them.
Is that something we would want to identify?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And we're going to wait, but that needs to be separate. It's not, it isn't a campground right now.
That's what I asked at the beginning, so.
We need to do that. We need to know exactly what it's doing, because we can make decisions based on this campground out here what to do, but we can't make any decisions up there when it's linked together.
That's with some sort of financial.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's a little bit late to do it now because we got, 8 or 9 or 10 days left of the year, but I would be ready in July to get that set up in QuickBooks with its own. Whether you do it as a class and do a separate financial statement for it and then a combined one as well. Mm-hmm. Either way, but if you do it by class, then we'll be able to get a statement of income for a profit and loss just for that, showing all the expenses and be able to identify it. So I'd say start thinking about getting it ready for the next fiscal year.
We don't have any mortgage up there, do we?
Not yet. We probably got about 30 or 40 spaces for mortgage, I think. And we're making some headway on the dock. We're working on some electricity here pretty quick, but we've got pretty much all the repairs done to the dock to where they could be rentable efficiencies. And okay. I don't know that we're ever going to make headway with the boat ramp at this point, though, this year at least.
Let's get through the financials here and see if Kelly has anything else to add. Any questions for Kelly?
Nope, I got none.
Budget, fiscal year 25-26. I think we're looking for a resolution.
Yeah, well, let me get that tab out. I just had it here. Yeah, we got a couple of motions, right? Both of them have to be acted on, right? Both those action items?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Chair, if you're ready for a motion.
I'll just hold it for a second.
Okay.
The budget's already been approved. It's been recommended by the committee for the board to adopt. So this should be an adoption of the budget. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Not an approve.
No. And then the next one's a levy. Yeah. Mike, you're so exactly right.
Yeah, so it shouldn't say budget committee. It's just
okay, so the language needs to be modified?
I think the language should be moved or changed to adopt the budget.
Yeah, so.
I move that the Board of Port Commissioners adopt the budget.
Right, got you.
Second, if that's a motion, I'll second it. Do we need to include the actual figures?
I think we should, Bill.
Okay. I'd like to see the figures included. Mike, you want to put the figures in, then I'll second that.
I can
enter another motion. I've got it blocked off here, Mike, if you want.
I just am looking at the...
It does say budget committee.
I just crossed it up.
Yeah.
I was trying to save paper, and then I forgot to change it, and I just took the papers from the budget committee meeting.
Well, that's just a motion, and you can put it into the motion. You can just put it in the motion yourself, because the next one's the one that we're actually... is the actual resolution, which that one looks fine.
If that's work, that's fine for me as a second.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had a motion made and seconded. All those in favor, certify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion number one passes. Do I have a motion for number two?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I move that the Port of Siusla approve property taxes for the 2025-26 fiscal year at the tax rate of 1.147 per 1,000 of assessed value.
I'd second that.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 This motion passes. Now we have a resolution.
Yeah, this resolution is adopting it.
So what tab is that? Am I still on tab 4?
Next page.
Got it. Okay. I got it.
Anybody like to make a motion?
Be it resolved, I'll move, Mr. Chair, since you asked for a motion. Be it resolved that the Port of Siusla Board of Commissioners hereby adopts the budget for the fiscal year 2025-2026 in the amount of $7,412,661, which includes $6,960,661 for the general fund and $452,000 for the capital maintenance fund. The budget is now on file at the port office. That is the form of the motion, Mr. Chair.
Hearing the motion, is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes.
Kelly, are those all the action items we need to take on that issue?
Yes.
Well,
in other words, the text at the bottom, the be it resolved, do we need to go there or not at this point?
No, you don't have to say anything on that.
So we've done enough to be able to levy taxes and approve the budget, right?
Correct.
Okay, good.
Do you need our signatures on this?
Yeah, I was going to give you this to sign, but you got a pen. So.
Sure, I got it. And Bill can attest to it.
Yeah.
There, Bill.
You bet. Got it. There you go, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we got all the work out of the way. The next item, assigning commission officers, approval of meeting schedule for fiscal year 25-26, and committee assignments, which is always our favorite. How many meetings did you make last year, Craig?
Zero. Gosh. I got booted off zero. I only had half as many opportunities.
Well, I'm not saying that you had as many as me. Yeah, so...
Well, if we ever need to have somebody act, where they're in the right spot.
There you go.
Be called on, right?
Yeah. Yep. We'll get you back on it.
I'm okay.
I'm back on it after they reappointed me on. I'm on urban renewal.
Good.
But
no, you're on it for the port.
I'm on it for the port. You're exactly
because you decide not to run for council.
Because I retired from the council,
right.
And then I retired from the urban renewal because I was the the council representative to Urban Renewal. So that position, I fell off of that position, and then there was an open position, and the city council reappointed me to the open position as a port representative.
So on the meeting schedule, don't we usually try to have one in Mapleton?
We had been.
That's when we didn't do Zoom.
Okay. So we're not, that's not really a requirement now that we can Zoom up?
It never was a requirement.
Okay.
I think we had one in Triangle Lake one time, too.
Really?
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm.
That was when Steve was manager.
And we had just about as many participants as we have here.
Yeah.
So.
And don't we use, I mean, haven't we in the past not had a December meeting for Christmas?
We always decide that usually in the November meeting, whether...
Why don't we just decide it now? So we know. Because if it comes up...
All in favor?
I'm going to say
that's a, that's a form of a motion, I'll second it.
Because we always scratch it anyway.
Okay.
Well, I'm just looking at the schedule.
Well, did you make a motion? Because I just second it.
I'm not so sure we can legally do that.
Well, then find out if we can.
Then I withdrew my second.
Why would we be able to legally do
you have it? To have meetings once a month as dictated by state law.
Just double-check that. Okay. I would.
We've checked that
because
before.
Then why we can cancel it when we have a quorum,
We can cancel it if there's undue
circumstances. And we've canceled meetings where we had no act.
But I do think we're required to have meetings every month. But Dave can check that. And I agree with you. And trust me, in November we'll cancel the December meeting. But I don't think we can make a motion to exclude it.
David, I've got a question about one of these. You and I have attended a couple of these Oregon Public Ports Association.
Yep, the OPP.
Are they scheduling any new meetings? Because those are always pretty.
Yes, I think there is one. Possibly in Astoria. I think I just got an email this week.
All right. Yeah. Will I get informed of those? Would you make sure you forward any of those to me?
Yes.
So now, what about the Pacific Waterways? Are they holding any meetings around the state?
Yeah. No. Everybody has been holding these meetings.
Okay.
The Oregon Coast Zone Management Association.
It just seems like the ones that we really choose to go to are the special districts and the OPPA.
Okay.
Because they're generally, in the area.
Yeah, I actually went to one of those. The three of us did.
Yeah, the Pacific Coast Harbor Masters and Port Managers, that's the one you like to go to, Bill.
Yep, we've had some good meetings.
I saw a Harbor Masters one today.
Maybe that's the one I've
that came
with.
In.
Yeah. That wasn't the OPPA, that was the Pacific Coast Harbor Masters.
Yeah, that one came in today. I'll forward that to you, Bill.
I'm surprised we don't have anybody for the Chamber of Commerce. Aren't you our designated?
Well, I used to be, I probably could do it. I'd rather not. I'm trying to cut back a little bit.
I don't have a problem being on that one. Involved with them anyway.
That would be great. So I will beg off of that, even though I have in the past, Chair.
Okay.
No other changes to the committee assignments?
We need a motion or suggestions or something.
For what? For the assignment? For everything?
Not for the assignments, but for the commission officers, we would.
I'd move. Leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
I'll second that. Slate being Chair Terry Duman, Vice Chair Bill Meyer, Treasurer Mike Buchwald, is that the
Secretary.
Motion made, seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, guys. That was easy.
No, appreciate it,
Terry. And one for the meeting schedule.
I move we accept or approve the fiscal year 25-26 regular meeting schedule.
Second.
Okay, motion made and seconded. Committee assignments remain the same for 25-26. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So be it. I am going to make a meeting this year.
All right.
That's my resolution.
Okay. I'll keep track of that, Gary.
Actually,
this is the first meeting in person. How many months have been? That's all right.
Hey, I did go to one of those.
Okay.
It was just out of my jurisdiction, if you will. I went to one of the special districts.
Yeah.
See it on the head, one zip.
Oh, I went to one too one time.
Oh, you did.
Up in Newport, and I sat there and listened to scientists talk back and forth. And it's like this is over my head.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't make any sense to me for me to be there. But that being said, we have manager and commissioner reports.
So I'll start out. We've been trying to get our contract in place with West Coast Realty for the management of the Cushman. Craig and I have both touched bases with our attorneys, and as of yesterday, our attorney had told me that West Coast attorney had not reached back with him to finalize the draft that we had come up with. I had been working with West Coast Real Estate to come up with a draft for the RV park rules. I have the draft for the campground management services and the scope of work, but this is going to be something we're going to have a work session to go over these with. I don't think we can do it right here. It's like 20 or 30 pages, so I'm hoping that possibly Tuesday we can have some kind of work session to get this out of the way, maybe, if you guys are available.
Yeah, I'm not available, but I'd sure like to get a copy of it.
Okay.
All of us get a copy of it so we can, walk in here.
It just came to me yesterday.
Yeah, but it'd be nice for us to, when you can, for us to get it.
Still waiting on them?
Well, when I had a conversation in email with our attorney, he said that West Coast's attorney still has not reached back to him with the changes that we suggested. When I talked to West Coast to Rochelle, I know, and there has been some contact, but I didn't hear anything. Yesterday was the last day I heard anything, and I think the problem may be Jim's out of town till the 25th.
Okay. So before we started the process, we went to them and asked them if they would be willing to negotiate the contract. Because if they're not willing to negotiate, there's no reason for us to spend money on it on legal. And they said, "Oh yeah, we're excited to get going and move with it."
Because they presented us a contract, and expected us to
basically. They had no responsibility for anything that they did. I mean, I'd have to look at it to get into the specifics.
Well,
but before we went down that road with spending the money on legal counsel, we reached out to them to make sure that they were flexible and they would, you know, negotiate with us. And they were very excited. Yeah, no problem. So then we reached back out to our attorney and said, okay, they're accepting negotiation, so let's move forward. And then it stopped once we sent everything to them. And that was like two...
Yeah, but... And they are, because after the conversation that I had with Rochelle yesterday, she has... They have this draft also. But I'm not sure why...
That draft is from our attorney.
Yes, but...
Those are the agreements we're discussing now, right?
And okay. They've been sent to their attorney. Their attorney just...
Hasn't done anything.
Hasn't. So, but... West Coast has seen this, and if there was anything out of the ordinary, I think she would have told me yesterday. So it sounds to me like they went up and looked at the RV park and everything already, and they're ready to move along. We've come up with some RV park rules for them that we're going to, you know, kind of have them initiate for up there, and then do contract for the tenants also, which I'm not
It'd
sure.
It'd be nice to get that done.
I know. I've been pushing for it.
I know, I know. And you wanted it done by May 1 or April 1, and then we put the brakes to it. But we needed to put the brakes to it. That agreement stunk.
Oh, you didn't, the original one would...
Oh, it was horrible.
There was no meat to it, huh? There was no...
No, and then we actually sent it to the folks at SDAO, and they won't, they're not, they really won't advise us on property management stuff.
Okay.
But I spoke to the guy kind of off the record a little bit, and he was like, I haven't seen one this bad in a long time. The one that they wanted us to sign was totally a one-way agreement. It made everything that... We were responsible for everything they did. Good, bad, or ugly.
But it sounded like that's not out of the ordinary for these management contracts.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
So, if you know, it just... I didn't want... It's We kind of put the skids to it, but we needed to.
No.
We're only going to do it once, right? Right?
Well, I think it's wisdom to go through the direction as far as legal to make sure we're right on target, because this is a difficult one.
I'll send this out to everybody tomorrow so you'll get it, because I just got it.
What's the length of the contract? Contractor.
1 year to begin with. Initially, the first contract will be for 1 year.
It's renewable if both parties agree.
Mm-hmm.
One party disagrees, it's non-renewable.
Yep. And that's kind of what Jim said he required anyways, is he expects a one-year contract to begin with. And so that's what I had told the attorney to begin with, because he's asked me questions about it also. So 1 year was the... And that's why it's the draft. I mean, we can change that also.
No, I agree. One year is the maximum I'd like to give until we see how they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Have we taken over any operations inside? They still have complete control of the marina?
What do you mean?
I mean, do they still have their stuff in the
yes.
building?
Yep.
The store bait and tackle is still full of everything?
Yeah, they've been getting rid of some stuff. I actually went up there last week and met with Marge and Natalie, and they're trying to move forward with it, but Marge is, I don't know that I want to say right now, but yeah, they're trying to proceed.
What about the parking area where the big hole is?
That's another issue there. okay, I do want to talk about that, because in the beginning, Oregon Department of Transportation, ODOT, this was right in the time that everything was transferring, there was a sinkhole there. ODOT came in, dug out the sinkhole, exposed a pipe that had been crushed. It was an old galvanized pipe, and whether it was salt water coming in, just corroded it, and it was completely crushed. So it was causing some kind of sinkhole. The water wasn't draining out of their catch basin. Well, I've met with ODOT two or three different times now, and in the beginning they gave us the impression that they would take care of the pipe all the way up to the point where it's actually highway right away there, because it's their catch basin. And we sent them easements and everything that went along with that, and the last time that I met with them, they said they actually have no record of putting in that pipe. And so they're telling me that it all falls on us now, replacing that pipe. They said they would be responsible for the permits, but we were responsible for replacing that drain pipe. And it does not make sense to me, because that is their catch basin. Whoever put in that catch basin put that pipe in. Does that make sense to you, Terry?
That's exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
They're just shirking their responsibility over onto us.
You know, I think this is when we need to talk to Boomer Wright. You need to get a hold of Boomer and describe, because Boomer, suddenly he can start asking questions that from the legislature, and that, sometimes that gets people off the high center right there.
what it is, Craig, the pipe comes across the road, hits a concrete catch basin, drops down, and then exits at the bottom of the catch basin. There's no way their pipe would ever have drained without putting it into the concrete box and running it to the river. There was no place for it to drain.
And it's broken between where it exits the catch basin and the river.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Well, I'm sure the salt water infiltrated in because it's at water level.
At first they were saying, oh, no problem, we'll take care of it, basically.
Yeah, we're going to, you know, pretty much take care of it. To our point, at that time, you guys can couple off the rest of the pipe or whatever you want to do, but it was going to be a joint venture, pretty much.
But they put the turd in our pocket.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they told Dave that if they were to take care of it, you can, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
And so they had told me that if it was something that they were going to take some responsibility for, which apparently they're not because they can't find any record of them ever doing it, that it was going to cost them several hundred thousand dollars and take several years to go ahead and do this project. So it would be easier if they would get the permits.
We would just
do the pipe work, put the conduit in ourselves.
Now you're scaring me. What kind of financial risk do we face on this?
It's probably about $20,000 project to replace that pipe.
It depends upon what you run into on the bulkhead.
Yeah.
How bad's the bulkhead when you go through the bulkhead?
Well, it's draining out. We're hoping that
Can you see the end of the pipe at low tide?
Yeah.
Where it comes underneath the bulkhead or through the bulkhead?
Yeah.
And it has integrity?
I'd have to get down there and look. I've just been going from the top and looking down and see where it's draining.
It's fairly deep. What, 10 foot?
Wow.
Yeah.
There's just no way that the state could put a pipe below the highway and not have that. They had to put the catch basin in. I mean, Kirby didn't put a catch basin in.
So would they have to record that in like the Lane County something deep?
Yes, you think so. That's why, you know, I gave them because we got a lot of easements on that property up there, and I'm assuming that there was something there for ODOT, which I believe that there was, but they're telling me there's no record of it.
I think your best is what Bill's saying: get a hold of Boomer Wright.
Yeah.
And let him rattle a few cages. It's amazing what happens when they start rattling at the top.
I mean, same thing with Congress. You talked to him, they kind of just blew me off after that.
I know.
They were the ones that broke ground there. We never broke ground. They came in there and they
dug it up,
and then they brought in a bunch of riprap and
walked away from
filled it.
Yeah. Have Boomer stop by on his way when he's driving. You know, he commutes between Reedsport and Salem. Have him drop in and just have a chat with him.
I'd have him come here first and give him a lay and then drive up and show it to him.
Yeah. Make sure, give him an overview. But just have a conversation with him.
Wow. That's...
Well, for them to come in and dig it up, well, if you have no easements, what are you doing digging up our pipe anyway?
Yeah.
You know you had a problem there. Now you're just shirking it over on us. But I think we ought to leave it left untouched until we get resolution, or until we decide as a board that we're going to go in and replace it ourselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's filled up. If we just smooth that out and put some rock on it, it's draining through that riprap. I don't know what else to do.
Can you take, where's your backhoe out?
Right
out here. I know, could you go up and pull a couple of them boulders out?
Oh,
maybe
yeah,
put some fabric down? And
I'm sure we could.
And then throw some gravel 1 inch on top, drive over it for the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
We want to make sure we don't need an in-water work permit, though, to replace it.
We don't, that's what they told me, because we wouldn't be going through. We would attach right at the end before it goes through the actual bulkhead itself. It doesn't protrude through the bulkhead. It's just right.
But now we have different agencies looking at us too.
Mm-hmm.
There's two other agencies.
I'm going to meet with ODF&W sometime in July. And maybe you might want to be at that meeting with me.
How can they say that that's a fish stream? They're saying that's a fish stream.
Out of the catch basin?
Yeah. Those fish are going to go into the pipe, jump up the catch basin.
Well, that tells you a whole lot about ODFNW.
Yeah.
Bill, do you have anything to report on Wendy and the situation at the camp?
Well, I'll tell you what, with the new FEMA requirements, it's pretty scary. And Dale, you got essentially, even if we were dredging our basin out here, or we dredged it and we pumped it up to an alternate site that was designated as, the minute we put a fill in, we have to remediate for that fill. And in terms of what is remediation, I'm not sure I can explain to you exactly what, but it was, there are a whole new set of rules that the FEMA is imposing on anybody that is within the floodplain everywhere on the West Coast.
Well, that's kind of Wendy's interpretation of it. That hasn't.
They're still negotiating, and they're still trying to determine exactly what the lawsuit means to us. So, it's not totally clear, but initially it's pretty scary. The initial phase was
so what they're saying, Terry, is that once you dredge and put material on land, you're going to have to mediate somewhere else for that material that you're putting on. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah. You have to have wetlands somewhere
else. You have to buy some wetland somewhere with the same...
We have an island out there. We have an island. If it ever comes down to that, I'm not sure that it will, but that sounds like...
It's a dredge spoil site. It's a designated dredge spoil site.
Yeah, but if we abandon it, then that's a remediation, as I understand it.
Right. What I came out of it was a little... This mediation is kind of like paying a carbon tax.
Remediation, yeah.
Yeah, but if we could abandon this site and we could pick up the Nordahl site,
we have the Nordahl site. We just have to negotiate with them a price,
right? But the point being is, once you have that secured, then it sounded to me like we could abandon this site for that site, but then you still have this remediation, whatever that.
If we ever use either site, we still have remediation.
Yeah, and it's not possible. It's anybody that dredges, it sounds like, upland.
Yeah, and it sounds like you have to barge it out to the ocean.
I've got a solution.
Okay.
If you take a 200 square foot area and contain it and make it 8 foot tall, that will hold 10,000 cubic yards.
Yeah.
Our problem before is we had 10,000 cubic yard area, but we had all this earth and berm around it, mm-hmm. which doubled or tripled the necessary size.
The
containment was bigger than the size. So if we were to build a 200 square foot of any configuration, you know, it doesn't have to be perfectly square, it could be a triangle, whatever we can fit on our property, that leaves the rest of our property for development. We can say, here's our sediment disposal site, mm-hmm. you know, it's designated, and you can leave, I had the idea of building it with econo blocks and putting a liner in it.
Well, exactly, but what we're talking about is that whole site. Can we make that footprint smaller with the whole area still being a dredge spoil site, and then put in an RV site where we're not allowed to in a dredge spoil site to do any...
The whole area isn't designated dredge spoil site. We just need room for 10,000 cubic yards.
No, right? The whole area is that they have a footprint of the whole area there is a dredge spoil site.
One of the things that she did say, and again, this is her interpretation, is that we could put all underground utilities in.
Well, she,
that's what I heard. Isn't that what I heard her say?
Yeah, she said the way she interprets it, because it says specifically no structures, that would they consider underground utilities as structure or not? But she just was like,
yeah, there was a term. What was the term? Was it service? There was a term that was, that we weren't sure whether the description of the utilities met the same definition as that term. But well,
and then she made the statement, you know, we were talking about gravel. She said, well, you could put asphalt over that because that wouldn't, that's not a structure, according to her. I don't know how.
Asphalt and curbs are a structure, and she needs to be schooled on that because she's preached that to me many times. That is a structure.
Yeah.
But if she said that, great. I think we're back to the simple point of gravel, the son of a gun. Maybe put some electricity out there and plan on, in 10 years, if we got to rip it up, if we got to cover it up, all we lose is our gravel and a little bit of electrical work. Mm-hmm. You know, we can still have dry camp areas. We can improve that whole area there. We can stabilize it.
But it sounds like we could put the full improvements in. We can put sewer, water, and power in.
What are you going to do when you need a sediment disposal site, though?
Then we have the Nordahl site if we can secure that.
Do you know how much it's going to cost to secure that Nordahl site?
Well, have you seen? Yeah, it's going to the figure we've seen, the real value of it is $250,000. That's what
I had Andy Johnson do some work for me on that. He came back because it's in the floodplain. I mean, there's so many obstacles to use it for anything other than a dredge spoil site. Did you have that copy?
I do.
But the bottom line was $250,000.
It was about $250,000.
Yeah, but I'm not sure you know who you're dealing with there. They aren't going to accept $250,000 as
an but
you want to buy it for $250,000.
Well, but we're required by law to have an appraisable floor. We can buy anything.
Yes,
I understand that.
So we'll.
But that was his assessment on comps.
Yeah.
On.
And I would tend to agree with that.
With the restrictions of what that use...
The previous owner offered me 2 acres for $1 million apiece.
But his daughter, who we're going to be meeting with in July, we'll hold the
discussion.
That'd be
Michelle.
Yeah. And, but, you know, the main thing is let's open the discussion about it.
Yeah.
And naturally, we're not going to be making any offers. We're just going to be talking about how do we determine a fair value. That, again, we haven't talked among us ourselves, and we will before we go into the meeting. The bottom line is, we're not going to pay more than the appraised value.
Well, you know, that's all of that is one side, but then you've got all of this other dynamics of, okay, What does the law or the legislature or whoever it is that sets up this regulation for dredge spoils, what do they really want? Because right now it's a nebulous statement of what you can do, where you can. I came away hopeful, but in a fog.
We're gonna meet with the county, so you still want to do that,
yeah.
Right?
Well, I think when we sold the park to the city down here, I think we probably overstepped our boundaries there because that was a dredge spoil site.
And I asked Wendy about that, and she said they didn't get rid of that designation. even though we signed off on it. That's what she said. I asked her that.
Yeah.
Didn't Bill.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the city and tell them we need to put dredge spoils on it. You know,
well, a lot of this is still up in the air in terms of the FEMA regulation. I mean, because they've got cities up and down the Oregon coast that are up in arms about, because every city that has property within the, it's within, what, 320 feet of the height of the 100-year floodplain mark. Everything within 250 feet of that line has severe restrictions on any improvements that you put on that property, and so there are cities up that are fighting this is all they can, but right now it's still up in the air. It's to be determined.
When we looked at the map that she showed, it was impressive how we're pretty good shape here. But you go back that direction.
Well, and then it came around behind the office back here.
Yeah. So it looked like we're even where we wanted to do back out here. I think we're fine with that, according to what that map showed.
Really?
It's interesting that the floodplain map, our shop out here, is okay. And yeah. You would think that that would be in the floodplain, but it...
It's not. It skirts around it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy that, like, they were saying, like, Doc Clemens, if he wants to do any kind of improvement or get any kind of a permit, suddenly he's into all the FEMA rules. Yeah. It's just... And the FEMA rules are apparently very onerous.
My advice is, if we get serious about it, is to get someone like Metro.
We still are working with Metro.
Good, because they've saved me a piece of property out of the floodplain.
And I think it all boils down to how they're interpreting it. It all seems to be interpretation. If it is true that structure would not mean underground utilities, we can go ahead and put underground. The only thing that we can't do is put permanent structures.
Well, it's like I shared with David, even if we couldn't do that, if you abandon one site on this end of next to it, you use that for shower and restroom.
Put the shower over on our.
You just move it a little bit. I mean, it's still close enough, it's closer than what these are.
Well, that's another thing we need to talk about. I think we have it in the budget, don't we?
We didn't
get that in the budget this time.
No, we had it last year, and then we ran into this. I think we're pretty far away on a restroom. It turned out to be probably about $150,000, even more than what we were planning on budget. They're expensive, right?
We budgeted $250.
Yeah, and they were like...
And it was like $400.
Yeah. For one of these restrooms right out here.
I think we can do it cheaper, though, by using local contractors.
You think so?
I mean, this is a kit that they bring in on a truck and slab it together.
Yeah, there's two or three companies that do it. Yeah.
But I think we have options, is what I felt.
Yeah, I do, too.
Well, I'd be curious to see what you figure out when you talk to the Nordahl representative. If nothing else, you just need to get a price on how much it costs to dispose soil on your property.
Yeah, even if we leased a portion. I mean, they designate, we just say, okay, we're going to lease that as a dredge well site.
Well, we have it as a lease, as a dredge well site, but they have to come up with a price. We have to negotiate a price.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm optimistic that we can fit the pieces to the puzzle together, but naturally, it's going to be a series of Since it's property negotiation, the whole commission's going to have to sit in and talk about whatever counter offers. But we probably initially it'll be a executive session, and it will discuss what the discussion was like with Michelle and what they're. But my experience having, I know I lucked out and got the lot there in Old Town on Maple Street. I got it because the property was being held by an estate, and all the inheritors of the estate were anxious to get money from the various properties that the estate held. So I have no idea how Michelle and Nordahl's relatives feel about disposing of these properties. Sometimes real money makes a difference because it's going to immediately flow to the heirs, depending on how the...
Well, his wife's still alive.
Oh, yes. I've driven by her house because I thought I was going to have to knock on her door.
Why is Michelle in charge if Mary Jo is still... you'll figure it out.
Yeah, there's 9.3 acres on the large site, and then there's an acre right along 126.
Right against the guardrail there.
Oh, yeah.
Heading up towards Murphy's Old Mill.
Yeah.
That stretch.
Yeah, that long sliver there.
Yeah.
Well, let's just wait and see what Michelle has to offer.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it was good to get the information. So.
We do have other options, though, and that's Wilbur's Island.
Well, when we were talking about this the last time, right there at Nordahl property was the furthest that we could actually pump with the booster pump, and that's why I don't know where Wilbur's other dredge spots.
Well, it'd be below the railroad trestle.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit.
You'd barge it.
Barge it.
But from there, you might as well barge it to the ocean.
Yeah.
And that's what they're suggesting, basically. That's what I heard.
Yeah, they don't want anything stockpiled. You start stockpiling, and then you have to compensate by purchasing...
To remove it from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Someone might be able to use it if you stockpile it.
Yeah.
We just got lucky they took it all.
We did.
Any other items, Craig, Mike?
I got none, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Bill.
I've got nothing.
Oh, nothing. That being said, let's close this meeting. Please adjourn. Thank you.